to NDB Media's Monday Night in America. I'm your host, Roger Palpatine Noriega. I want to give thanks to Robert Summers Potterton III for his composition of our opening theme. You can find his website at rsp3.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in advertising opportunities, go ahead and email us at roger@ndbmedia.net. And, that's some of the important stuff. I want to get right to it. Travel Talk Radio is a program that's on every Wednesday here on this channel, NDB Media. Bob Nisoff, you know him. That's him. It really is him. He has written Spider Hole, and it's got a review at Urban Matter, and it begins like this. Sounds like an Indiana Jones movie. Author's novel of intrigue and terrorism jumps from the headlines. Intrigue and terrorism jumps from the headlines. This review was written by Ross Warren, and I'm not going to give you the entire thing, but a former U.S. Army Green Beret, now working in a shadowy world of covert international spy agencies, could have stopped the attacks on 9/11, but he never connects the dots. Now he has new information and is hot on the trail of terrorists bent on detonating nuclear weapons in New York and London. This time, he won't let it happen. Bob Nisoff, author and journalist, tells a fast-moving story of international intrigue that has been compared to the pace of the Indiana Jones movies by retired U.S. Army Major General Thomas Needham, himself a former Green Beret in Vietnam. Check him out, Spider-Hole. It's available on Amazon. You may go ahead and purchase it. Who knows? Maybe we'll put a link. I know we will somewhere at ndbmedia.net. But for now, head on over to Amazon and check it out. Deliciously addicting, dare I say. But wow, folks, 7:03 p.m. on Monday, August 6th. It's hot. I'm struggling to find safe harbor here. It's 94 degrees outside. It's probably 104 degrees inside the NDB Media World Headquarters. There's no air conditioning here. There never has been. The only time there's air conditioning is when I'm fanning a bunch of paper, and even then. But we did a do-it-yourself one where a young man that we know, Michael Rubio, we gave him an ice box, gave him a fan, and he cut into it, made a hole, and an exhaust with a PVC pipe, I guess it is, a two-prong exhaust, and he put the fan in on the side, and that works for a while, but I haven't tried it in 94-degree weather. And Mino thinks I'm going to do that. And it's hot. It is hot. But anyway, I want to welcome everyone who's listening live and in the archive. We're looking at our numbers. Wow, we're thrilled. We're thank you. And as always, we are humbled. Following me tomorrow is Fandom Access. Catch them at 7 p.m. Pacific time or 10 Eastern. Depends on who's making the announcements. And Travel Talk Radio is on Wednesday as well as the Rock and Roll Shrink on this channel. So the episodes are programmed. Check out the calendar. And we are updating ndbmedia.net to have the exact hours and times. But you can find the program links there. You can also find them on Facebook. Hell, you can find us on Facebook. But anyway, we're going to get to it. An incredible amount of stuff I have to go over. I don't know if I can even read it now because when I started the program, it wasn't this dark. Now it is. And now I feel like my voice is going. Man, such is life. I'll just stop crying and get to it. I'm going to have to turn the light on in here. Oh, mama, it's going to get worse. Let me take a sip. I have vanilla Coke today. Man, it has an aftertaste. But lots of ice. We'll see how we'll do, and we'll see if we can get. There was some breaking news today, and it's related to Parkland, Florida. The young man, the teenager, accused of killing 17 people. Apparently, in a newly released transcript of a confession to police, the teenager accused of killing 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in February said he wanted police to kill him and that he had been hearing voices in his head for years. I don't know if we're going to be able to listen in to those. I'm sure if this transcript is there, we'll probably end up hearing it. I don't know if I want to. I don't want to know any more about this young man. I know he has issues. And I am sympathetic because I know people in my family, my place of employment, and just the world around me that have issues such as him. And I'm saddened that he would do such a thing, but what can we do? I really don't want to know more of him. I just don't. Today in politics, and we're going to be going back and forth, folks. I want to get all these announcements in, and some of them we're going to be discussing. Others we're just not, because there's no reason to. Paul Manafort's former business partner, Rick Gates, admits to conspiracy and falsifying tax returns and bank docs. This is from USA Today. Rick Gates told a federal court jury that he engaged in a 7-year criminal conspiracy with his former boss. You know, with all the stuff that's going on, it would have been great had it been 17, but, you know, whatever. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, in which he assisted in filing false tax returns, failed to disclose multiple foreign bank accounts and provided phony documents to banks to acquire millions of dollars in loans. I think that alone, when you falsify loan documents, you can go to jail. And if he falsified many, many items, he's probably not going to be good for him. I want to see. Yeah, this is another one. Okay. This one also broke from USA Today. Apparently, there was at least 71 people shot, 11 killed in Chicago over yet another violent summer weekend, police say. The shooting, stretching over a 60-hour period from Friday evening until early Monday morning, come despite city officials having expressed optimism that Chicago had made headway in cutting the persistent gun violence that has plagued the city. There are some really, really sad things going on in Chicago. I just hope that one day they can actually get their act together. But, you know, you got to get the criminals off the street, and you got to get the criminals from having easy access to getting guns. You know, that's maybe another conversation for another day. I do not pretend to want to even wade into that argument right now. Just, I wish these crimes were not happening. In other news today, it also broke about 3 million students will be sexually assaulted during college. That's crazy. Each year, campus sexual assault impacts millions of students, their families, and universities, and it changes the lives of everyone involved. But while it's a pervasive issue, it's something people don't talk about until it happens to them. It's time to have that talk. Hear from survivors, the accused, university officials, police officers, and more in The Sex Talk, the conversation that isn't happening about sexual assault. It's a new video series from the Cincinnati Inquirer, part of the USA Today network, which explores what this devastating epidemic looks like. It's real. It doesn't only happen in school. It happens at home, happens on the road, happens at work. Got to protect yourselves, folks. You have to be smart, and, well, there's going to be that special. I recommend you check it out. In some news over the weekend, NBC News was reporting that there's a toxic red tide, which is making Floridians sick and angry. In South Florida this summer, one ecological scourge has piled on top of another. First came the red tide, a flotilla of rust-colored microorganisms that littered the beaches with masses of dead fish, eels, dolphins, and turtles. Then ecological insult number two arrived, a toxic green sludge of cyanobacteria producing a noxious odor. It has reportedly sent more than a dozen people to emergency rooms and left some Floridians weeping as beloved manatees died. That's from NBC. Something that I found while perusing the internet disappointed me a little bit, but there's a report that, or let me paraphrase it this way. A year after Charlottesville, the list of Confederate monuments grows at the same time they're being toppled. Outrage over a racist post led to the removal of dozens of statues and other symbols. At the same time, though, others are being identified at a greater pace. The result is that a notable list of public Confederate memorials is 237 entries longer today than it was in 2016. USA Today commented on that one. That's crazy. In another bit of news, close to home, looks like there's going to be a Disney auction. 750 items are going to auction, and you can bid online. This and the weirdest items for sale online. It's crazy. If you've ever wanted to own a piece of Disneyland, here's your chance. But you better have some e-ticket cash. I apologize, folks. As I said, I'm in my studio. It's a bit dark right now. But I wish I had my motion tracker. Because I'm detecting movement. Doesn't help. I've got the fans on. So I can hear, cannot hear very well, but right around my corner office. Forgive me one moment. No? Oh, you hear the fans going? They're going and blowing. Well, it can't be my kitties. They're not that big. They can't block out the light. But anyway, lots of stuff is going on sale, folks. Really neat. There's a Matterhorn sled. There's, wow, a lot of stuff. Online bidding has started, but sales won't be final until a live auction is conducted Saturday and Sunday, August 25th and 26th. Bidders must register in advance. Some of the coolest items, Dumbo the Flying Elephant attraction vehicle, Peter Pan's Flight original attraction vehicle. Oh, and the expected price is $100,000 for the former one, the latter one, $70,000, $50,000 for the Enchanted Tiki Room animatronic, Jose prop. Jose was among the Ovarian residents when the Enchanted Tiki Room opened in 63. They had him at 6 feet tall with a display stand. They're expecting $50,000 for the Global Van Lines moving truck. Yeah, okay. $40,000 for a Haunted Mansion Doom buggy vehicle. $40,000 for the Haunted Mansion stretching portals. That's really neat. There's $25,000 for Mr. Toad's Wild Ride attraction vehicle. There's a stylized Neon D from the Disneyland Hotel. Again, expected $20,000. There's a People Mover original attraction vehicle. Expected to go for $20,000. This is one of just 13 People Movers known to exist, as most were destroyed when the attraction closed in 95. Fans still miss the People Mover, I myself included, and the languid pace that offered a needed break from the crowd. Yes, indeed. Submarine Voyage animatronic sea serpent. I saw that big, $15,000. And there are a few other affordable Disney auction items for about $100. A 1957 Dutch boy paints Disneyland coloring book. Some of the pages are already colored, and they might not be in the line. A 1970s Hostess Disneyland advertising store display. If Twinkies were included, then it might still be fresh, but that's before the other company went out. And a 1970s Disneyland hotel room service menu. It mentions a liquor package plan. I guess Disney knew its audience. The last three items are expected to go for about $100. Disneyland bubble bath, an original box with 9 attraction-themed packets. $50. An unopened Disneyland bubble gum pack. It includes trading cards and a piece of ill-preserved gum. Ill-preserved. Not preserved, but ill-preserved. I hope my English teacher is not rolling her grave too much. I know she probably wouldn't be happy with that one, but it is May. We'll continue. Here are some odd items. For about $300, a horse's head from King Arthur Carousel. If given as a gift, leave it in the recipient's bed. Yeah, that would be more like Animal House, I think. Actually, I think there was some crime with the horse's head in there. But anyway, a 1964 telephone directory for Disneyland and Walt Disney Productions. Walt Disney is listed. Hey, if he picks it up, you never know what. About $200. In 1998, Disneyland Emergency Preparedness Folder. What to do in earthquakes, chemical spills, if they would happen, the happiest place on earth. A 1970 silver Disneyland trash can. About $200. It's empty. Allegedly it smells fresh, but I don't know. a 1998 Rocket Rod original attraction vehicle for about $5,000 and lots of other items. Check it out August 25th and 26th. You can actually go there now and check it out. It's from the collection of music agent Richard Kraft. Kate's amassing more than 750 pieces. And that's from Disneyland Auction, offered by Van Eaton Galleries. So head on over to Van Eaton Galleries, register, and you can bid, folks. Might be a little bit of fun. You never know what you're going to get. Oops. That was something else. Sorry. Sometimes Palpatine doesn't know any better. Don't know if you heard this one, but the Seattle Space Needle now boasts the world's only rotating glass floor. Oh, my God. I'm joking already. Folks, I'm out. That's crazy. Don't want to do it. It's the world's first and only revolving glass floor, which is suspended and spinning slowly at the 500-foot level of Seattle's iconic 605-foot-tall space-inspired Space Needle. For Space Age, yeah, not going to happen. Saw some of the images. It's frightening. It's all glass, kind of like the bridge out there in the Mojave. It's all glass. I mean, you can see some stuff under. I already saw some of the images, and from here, from 1,000 miles away, I'm like, no more for me, thanks. I'm hiding. Not even that I'm driving. I'm just hiding. No way. I'm afraid of heights. Just not going to happen. Congratulations. American Airlines. Are you guys ever going to get your act together? Don't know if you heard this one, folks. But they removed another flyer from a flight despite buying a separate seat for her cello. Apparently, she was flying over the weekend. She paid for the extra seat. First she called American Airlines and said, look, I'm going to do this. I want to have a seat. Oh, excuse me. Man, I jumped. An advertising item started on my website. Oh, my God. Well, maybe that's what I've been hearing, all that movement. All right, anyway. Whew. You got sidetracked there. Now, you see, American Airlines just comes out of nowhere to ruin everything. Called in the van, said, I'm flying to Miami. You guys know where that is. If you listen to Sports Talk with the guys, you know where she went. She paid for the ticket for one for herself and one for the cello. The cello's worth $30,000. Agent said, it's good, cool, you're all set, you're going to Miami, and when you come back. Well, apparently when she flew over there, everything was fine. Everyone knew what was going to happen. They helped her strap the cello in. Everything was fine. But coming back, apparently the flight was scheduled or set up on a 737, where allegedly the cello was too big. Hey, 757 was fine. 737 was not. She bought the seat. It's a cello. Didn't gain weight. Didn't do anything. It's the same size. They didn't let her fly because they said the cello was too big. Un-effing believable. After the agent said it was okay, and American Airlines did it again. They really can do just whatever they want. It's unbelievable. American Airlines says, hey, we made good. We paid her hotel. We paid her food, and we got her on the next available flight the next day. No, that was the bare minimum. She called you, spoke to the agent to make sure it was clear, and you block it, still blew it, because that's what you do. Hell, you drug a doctor who paid for his seat off. And why? Because you wanted your people to get home. He purchased his ticket just like everyone else. She did as well. And it's American Airlines. I have no idea how much longer you're going to survive, seriously. I know there aren't that many airlines left in the United States, but you guys are killing animals, won't let a passenger fly after they call to make sure, and you bonehead then say can't. Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, and knowing that you can't get rid of these guys, apparently Wells Fargo screwed homeowners yet again. It's being reported by CBS LA that Wells Fargo admitted to a computer glitch which denied loan modifications to hundreds of homeowners. About 607 people not apologized. A filing error caused 625 customers to be denied or not offered loan modifications they otherwise qualified for. And guess what? Foreclosures were completed in about 400 of the cases. Wells Fargo, man. Apparently, this was the error that took place in 2010, which was fixed in 2015, apparently. You know, even though you guys set aside $8 million to help these affected, they lost their homes, which they qualified for. And you guys just took their homes. I mean, does anyone not review the figures and the numbers? This is beyond incompetence. They stole the homes. Computer error? That doesn't work, dude. Someone has to be responsible. Oh, wait a minute, the bank. That's right. They have to make the customer whole. Yep. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they have to do it. It's just unbelievable. Of course, that's more bad news for the San Francisco-based bank. Of course, last week, Wells Fargo was hit with a $2.1 billion fine to settle allegations that misrepresent the type of mortgages it sold to investors during the housing bubble that ultimately led to the 2008 financial crisis. And earlier this year, federal authorities fined the bank $1 billion for charging customers unfair fees in April. Just 4 months after yet another computer glitch drained customers' accounts. Good God. Wells Fargo, what are you doing? Just unbelievable. I guess you can't tear these banks apart. Actually, they should. They should go back. And, you know, prior to 2000, actually, no, I take it back. I think Reagan is the one that did it, where he unleashed the savings and loans and allowed them to compete with the regular banks. And it created the first mess, the savings and loan debacle, which was handled under the George Herbert Walker Bush administration. Billions of dollars to get through that. And then, of course, the law where they had to make loans, which became known as liar's loans in the 2000s. Hell, when I was doing taxes, even I knew something was up. I know what my clients were earning, and I know what they, and then I saw what they were reporting. Unbelievable. And in some cases, they didn't even have to report. That's why they were calling liar. They were calling them liar's loans. They didn't have to provide proof. Unbelievable. But everyone was insured, as we found out, and even AIG went under. But speaking of being insured and stuff that's kind of dirty, you're going to have to forgive me a moment. I'm going to have to turn the light on in the studio. Because even though it's warm, it's about to get even warmer. It's not going to be fun. Ah! Well, thank God no one's here. I won't be scaring them with my lack of civility. We'll call it that. It's that hot, folks. Oh. Yeah. Vanilla Coke does have an aftertaste. It's not even vanilla cherry Coke. But here's another idiot, and this happened within the last week. We're going to add Pete Sessions, a Republican from Texas, to the long list of Republican lawmakers who don't seem to think women are quite fully human. Sessions managed to turn comments about no-fault divorce and family courts into a lamentation about how poor, unfortunate men get railroaded into paying child support and, get this, killing their wives. Folks, there's no argument that you can make, at least here in California. You can try to make an argument, but as I've been told, it's a simple mathematical equation. Who earns how much and how often? And it's a mathematical formula. That's it. It's the way it works. Sessions, vomiting his inherent stupidity. Dallas County, okay, I can't be stupid tonight. I'm just full of energy, so I can't. But actually, I should be, but I can't do a stupid accent. But actually, let me see. Hold on. It would be civil engineer in civil service. Nah, it's escaping me right now. I'm unable to do that type of an accent. Dallas County a few years ago went through a number of terrible shootings, and I gathered together. They were at the time Republican district judges, and I said, guys, men, women, we've now had, I think, 4 or 5 shootings. One of them was from a big-time guy in Highland Park who went and killed his wife, just gunned her down. And that was because the judge wasn't fair, and the woman wasn't fair. When she demanded something, and he was out, and it was frustration, close quote, Sessions said during a local GOP event earlier this summer. So now we go through the court system, and unfortunately, lives here have to be lost, and there has to be tragedy. There now is a better system. The judge wasn't fair, and the woman wasn't fair, huh? Really? I'm going to go now. You know what? I just believe the man was unhappy, but he was okay in gunning her down. That's because the hearing was unfair. Come on, dude. I wonder if he'd actually harmed his wife before, if he just simply killed her for the amount of money. Folks, it's a mathematical equation. There's nothing to do about it. But this guy says it was unfair. Dude, that's the way it is. If the man earns more, he will pay. That's it. That's the way it is. But I guess some of your friends got screwed, Sessions. Ah, funny. I just saw your name again. Pete. What does that tell you? It's just disgusting. Sessions often says he does not condone murder and has supported domestic violence shelters, except for that one time he voted against the Violence Against Women Act because it got tough on men who raped Native American women. That's on record, and that's a fact, folks. No explanation of sympathy. He all too obviously feels for the poor, railroaded murderer. But hey, no need to worry, guys. Sessions is a member of the party of legitimate rape and grab him by the, wah, wah. You know, 30 minutes in, I want to thank everyone, both listening live in the archive. Don't forget, you can visit us at ndbmedia.net. Find us on Twitter, ndbmedia, and we're on Facebook as well. Here's where the criminal stupidity comes to the fore. In November of 2017, Cinveno Inc. was awarded one of the largest contracts for printing and mailing ever, given out by the U.S. Government Publishing Office. $61 million meant that Cinvo would be printing all the materials for the upcoming 2020 United States Census. Cinvo's award of the 2020 U.S. Census is a reflection of our core capabilities and expertise, manufacturing, and fulfillment, said Robert G. Burton Sr., Cinvo's chairman and chief executive officer. We are well positioned to execute and manage all aspects of this program successfully and with the level of quality and security expected. Honored to be part of this program that will achieve a lasting impact to the future of our country. Really? That's 2017, folks. Things have changed. Let me see. The company went bankrupt. Yeah, it's gone bankrupt. Can you imagine that? Officials at the U.S. Government Publishing Office botched the awarding of its single largest contract, the 2020 Census printing contract, according to a memo from the Federal Agency's Office of the Inspector General. Our investigation revealed GPO did not do an adequate job of protecting the interests of the government, concluded former Inspector General Michael Rapone, who authored the report, which was obtained by NPR. $61 million. Wow. A few months after receiving this fantastic contract, Cinvo reached an agreement with key stakeholders in its plans to be completely bankrupt. The terms of the plan of reorganization will enable the company to exit Chapter 11 with a highly deleveraged balance sheet, which will allow the company to focus on its operations and grow its business. Prior to filing for Chapter 11, the company's liabilities include approximately $1.1 billion in funded debt. Upon emergence, the company's funded debt will be reduced to under $400 million. As part of the revised agreement with first lien holders, the amount of funded debt issued upon exit will be reduced from $200 million to $100 million. GOP officials also allowed Cinvo to significantly lower their initial bid after unsealing other bids. But don't worry, a federal judge just allowed the United States to get out of his pointless contract with the bankrupt company. All we have to do is give them a few more $1 million for doing nothing but digging a deeper hole for the U.S. to get out of completing the census. The Census Bureau is paying $5.5 million to resolve all disputes related to ending of the contract. Wow. This comes just a few days after a federal judge in Manhattan ruled that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross may have violated the constitutional rights of plaintiffs in choosing to reinstate a citizenship question in the 2020 census. That question hasn't been in the U.S. Census since 1950. Wow. Way to go, guys. $61 million. That's the one that we know of right now. Thanks. Trump, through his attorney and himself, has been saying collusion is not a crime. And even if it is, who cares? Well, on August 1st, Wednesday this past week, Senator Chris Coons, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, filmed a video after President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and the president spent the past several days claiming that collusion is not a crime. Hi, I'm Senator Chris Coons from Delaware, a member of the blah, blah, blah committee. I recently noticed that Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's personal lawyer, has been publicly saying that collusion isn't illegal, that he can't find it in the code books. He just wanted to offer his advice. What we're talking about here is an ongoing investigation by Robert Mueller, the special counsel, into whether or not Russian nationals, military intelligence staff of the Russian GRU, provided some assistance to the Trump campaign in 2016, and whether or not that form of collusion or cooperation might be illegal. So I took the liberty of looking into the United States Code. Look this up yourself. Don't rely on just me. I'm giving you the title. That's my thing about it, folks. When people say something is illegal or it's in the law or whatever, ask them where. Have them give you the name of the law, the title, the code, all that stuff. If they don't tell you, they don't know, number one. And two, they're stupid. And three, most likely they're just lying. Go by what they say. And if they say they saw on the internet, well, I guess they must be fans of Alex Jones. We are not. That bastard spews hate. And even if he's just acting as his ex-wife says, funny how she now divorced him, he is still spewing hate. I'm glad he's off Facebook. I'm glad he's out of YouTube. I'm glad he's out of Spotify and iTunes. The man spews hate. And the whole thing about Stony Brook up there in Connecticut, Q's, parents of having lost children, of being liars and actors, and then putting their address in the public domain? That's not right, dude. The entire world knows what happened, except for people like you, Alex Jones. Why did you do that against these people? Why? You didn't even know who they were. You didn't even have proof. False flag operation. Dude, every time you try to get it up, that's a false flag operation. Now I know why you're so bitter and angry, because you just don't get any. That's why you call everything a false flag operation. Thank God I haven't heard more than 47 seconds of your vitriol. Can't handle anymore. Going back to Title 52, Section 30121, it says, quote, it shall be unlawful for a foreign national, directly or indirectly, to make a contribution or donation of money or other thing of value in connection with a federal, state, or local election. It goes on to say, or for a person to solicit, accept, or receive a contribution or donation described above from a foreign national. Well, I don't pretend to be an English major, but I do read English, and I had marvelous English teachers. It seems pretty clear to me and what that means. So, as the senator continues, my advice to Mr. Giuliani would be, instead of arguing that it isn't illegal, to advise his client to cooperate fully with the Mueller investigation in the hope and expectation that if he is innocent, he'll be fully cleared. And if not, well, I guess our lies will be enforced. Dude, just sit down for the interview. I do believe it's not right for a president to have to sit down? Dude, you need to shut up. You need to stop mouthing off. And that's you, Giuliani, and you, Mr. Sir, President of the United States, Donald Trump. Let it go. Let it run its course and do the best. Sir, it's one thing to be caught lying deliberately and another thing because you're just stupid. People don't usually – oh, wait, I'm sorry. People that are not you, Donald Trump, yeah, they do go to jail. But you, sir, no. If you tell the truth and, oops, you made some mistakes, look at what happened to Bill Clinton. He was found guilty of perjury, and yet they still did not kick him out of office. Maybe people knew better. I believe people will know better at this time. Dude, if you flub stuff, you're not going to get kicked out. If you broke the law, depends what. But if you did it in such a way that you kind of like maybe even didn't really know, you know, they didn't draw the pictures well enough for you when they gave you the briefs, and the brief just went over 5 minutes and you tuned it out, that happened, sir. I get it. Just sit down. You're not going to remember the interview anyway after about 10 minutes. Just get it done. Save us all and get back to work, sir. But saying it's not a crime, sorry, sir. And you, Rudy Giuliani, yeah, it is. Well, something close to home. Former Senator Barbara Boxer tells Inglewood residents that she'll fight the Clippers arena. Quote, Mr. Ballmer, enjoy your team, but do not build your arena here. Of course, this is very close to the new NFL arena that's being built in Inglewood. And now they want to build a Clippers arena. And it's going to be privately financed. And it's really something where the city is trying to get a law passed in California so they can get through the, not the Clean Water Act, but we have laws in California that are similar to that. We have to do an environmental impact report. But since this is going to be done with private money, they figure it can go by faster and, you know, do everything else legally. Just the environmental impact report takes a long time, years. So they want to get that passed. But the fear of the residents is that they're going to be evicted. They're going to be moved out. It's going to be gentrified. And the reality is that's probably exactly what's going to happen. So the residents don't want the stadium. I don't know what you're going to do. It's progress, folks. I'm saddened by this. I'm disappointed that it's happening. But if you're renting a house and something big and flashy comes around, the owner doesn't have the right to charge what he or she wants. They did the risk. They bought the property. You're saying they should be limited for how much? It's a tough thing. The residents are saying that they can't save for down payment, so they have less money for food, utilities, and everything else. Well, the city, which is unlike Los Angeles, doesn't have rent control or even rent stabilization. Without it, landlords are liable to hike rents by however much they want. They try to put a rent control issue on the ballot in Inglewood, and it proves unsuccessful. Yeah, if that stadium does move in, rents are going to move up, and culture will move. It happens. Boyle Heights, a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, has now gone Latin. Compton, at first, was white, then it went to black, and then it went to brown, which is Latin, in less than 100 years. Things change, folks. Sad, but I have many friends and family that are owners, and they're the ones that risk the money, and these are simple one property owners, maybe two. And why should they be limited to how much they can charge? LA does have rent control, and you know it going in. Other cities do not. Is it fair? I'm being dumb about this. I'm willing to listen to the other side as well, but come on, guys, is it fair? And of course, they'll say, I don't live there. Well, no, I don't, because it's very, very cool out there. You're very close to the beach. It is what it is, folks. Now, another California news. A new report finds SB1 will pump $182.6 billion into California economy over the next decade. This is a very divisive Senate Bill 1. This is the one that, contrary to public opinion, had to go before the voters. No, it did not. When you get a two-thirds majority in both sides, the Senate, the Assembly, it does not go before the voters. That's the point of it having two-thirds. If you can't get two-thirds, you got to put it on the ballot. Well, they didn't do that. Well, they snuck it in, 12.5-cent tax on gas. And for cars that don't purchase gas, they have to pay an extra amount tacked onto the registration fees. So registration fees went up and gasoline tax went up, which hadn't gone up in 23 years. And it's going to be for work all around the state. And this work is being done even now. Good roads, less repairs, faster commute times, quality of life. But people are really unhappy with this, and we don't know what's going to happen. There is a ballot initiative to get SB1 rescinded. Can't think of the correct word. But I don't know. I am a beneficiary of it because roads are being worked on, transportation networks are being improved, and I would like to see where this is going to go, but a lot of people are very unhappy with it. One of the representatives in the assembly or assembly members that voted for it, I guess, was the final vote. I don't know how you figure it out. They clocked him out. They went in, got him out of office, and they now, the Democratic Party in California does not have a two-thirds supermajority, so they can't pull the same thing again. So now they're putting the proposition on the ballot, and it will be in November, SB1. I don't know what the proposition number is yet because we're not there yet. But right now, the hostility towards that ballot or the Senate Bill 1 is pretty high right now. And I hope in the time that people come out and vote, they see all the work that's being done and will be done. But I don't know. In other transportation news in the local area, Metro's conversion line extension. They're talking about it, and they're looking to make it happen before the Olympics. This is the extension of the Crenshaw line from the Expo line up north to all the way into West Hollywood and stuff. Let me see something. I hear some noise outside. Gotta come out. Oh, it's Mrs. Noriega. She's got a water hose. Man, I wish she played with the water hose with me right now because it's so hot, but I'm kidding. She's washing some of the stuff out there. I'm gonna see if she wants to say hi just right now. She even knows I'm asking her. Hi, mi amor. ¿Gustas decir hola? Oh, God, she just shook her head. And, whoa, she actually sprayed me with water. Oh, I had to jump back. But anyway, I had my phone in my hand. Just going to show you what I think is more valuable. You know, guys, the look that your wife gives you when you know it's just not going to happen. She just looked at me, put her head down, shook it, and mouthed the words no. And then lifted up the water hose with the pressure gun. Whew, the dangerous woman. But anyway, forgive me for being stupid. I'm going to continue. I forget where I got this from, but oh, it was from the LA Times. There were letters to the editor about building the north-south line on the west side. People are talking about commute time, which takes about 2 hours to go north, and this will take 40 minutes in the light rail if we extend the Crenshaw line, which right now is being built from the Expo line south towards LAX. And it's in the plan to go to West Hollywood North, either via San Vicente, La Brea, Vermont, which would be a shortened version. And I forget the another one, Robertson. I don't think it's on Robertson. But there's four options. They're trying to determine which one it's going to be. But right now, they're trying to get on the ballot. And there are some rules where if they want to move up the project, if the city affected, L.A. City, and West Hollywood want to move up the projected completion time of 2047, yeah, that's how it's projected. Now, they can always accelerate projects if there's more money coming in. And I think the economy is doing very well right now. Some money is coming in. That's why they're able to advance some projects. But for this one to advance to the line, the city of West Hollywood and Los Angeles would need to come up with 10% of the projected cost. That's about $550 million, if I read that correctly. That's a lot of quan. But they're looking at public-private partnership, stuff like that, maybe borrowing from the Transit Bank. But with the Trump administration, I don't know if the Transit Bank is still in operation. And that was part of Mayor Villaraigosa's America Forward plan, where they would be able to borrow money from the federal government at a lower rate than they could in the open market. But anyway, looking at those numbers, both editors' letters are talking about you got to make it happen. You know, right now the traffic is just so bad. And it is. It really is bad. But I'm going to ask you to forgive me, folks. I do need to rest the voice real quick. I want to go back in time, and I want to bring back one of my favorite ladies. She was on with us three times, I believe four times, but here she is.
Hi, this is Andrea Gabriel, and I'm keeping abreast of all shenanigans on NBB Media.
I never grow tired of that one. But this is, if NBB Media has a star, a secret star, this is her. It's an old commercial. Bear with us while I rest the voice.
Mike, come on!
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
I need about another minute and a half. We're going to go to some of our favorites right here. And here he is, Doug Roberts, the Ragnarok Rising series. Come on.
Is anyone out there? This is the Nathaniel County Sheriff's Office. Is anyone out there? We were surrounded by the dead. They were in rioters, what we were told. We have survivors here. Civilians, women, children. Is anyone out there?
Follow the story in the Ragnarok Rising Saga by D.A. Roberts. Available on Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, and BooksAMillion.com. Visit RagnarokRising.Weebly.com.
Hey, hey, it's Shy Roslyn, and I'm inviting you to visit my new shop, Pond's Edge Designs by Rosalind Brunson. My motto is fun, funky, and affordable. Wearable art for men, women, and even home decor items. All handmade in the USA, every item one of a kind. Don't be shy. Stop by. PondsEdgeDesigns.net.
Well, that felt good. I was able to take a quick rest. Shy Rosalind, D.A. Roberts, wonderfully talented people. We've had them on numerous times, especially Mr. Roberts. Congratulations to him on the, gosh, I hate using this word, on the success of his endeavor. Couldn't think of another word right there. On his, I don't know, It's everyone uses that word, and they use it incorrectly often, especially sports people in the world of football, or in baseball and in other places. Where, let me give you an example in football how they use it incorrectly. The illiterate people that they are. Well, they're illiterate if they don't know how to use the word. So anyway, what they will say is, Brady has had moderate success while throwing over the middle. Moderate success. Yeah, my English teacher is now reaching her hand out of her grave and she wants to strangle me for your inherent lack thereof. Let's just move on. August 6th, 2018. Today in history, folks. Today, our thoughts are with the people of Japan, specifically the city of Nagasaki. On this day, in 1945 at 8:16 a.m., an American B-29 bomber, the Enola Gay, dropped the world's first atomic bomb over the city of Hiroshima. Approximately 80,000 people were killed as a direct result of the blast, and another 35,000 were injured, and at least another 60,000 would be dead due to the effects of the atomic bomb, the atom bomb, atomic bomb. Very quickly, in some other days in history, back in 1991, Peugeot says au revoir to the U.S. car market. In 1787, the first draft-tution is debated. Back in 1890, the first execution by electric chair. Ooh, how scintillating. In 1928, Andy Warhol is born. In 1911, Lucille Ball was born. The sad day in 2009, director John Hughes passed away, most notably known for The Breakfast Club. In 1996, George R.R. Martin's Game of Thrones debuts. In 1965, President Johnson signs the Voting Rights Act. And the year before, in 1964, Johnson administration officials argue for a resolution. And in 1915, during World War I, Allies land at Suvla Bay. Look it up. That's a mission thing. Well, folks, we're now finishing the second quarter here on Monday Night America. Let's see. Bob Nisov sent me. Yep, just right now. Just sent me an email. Said thanks. So I'm going to go ahead and thank him again. Check it out. Spider Hole on Amazon. Really good book. I'm going to have to interview him. And we're going to talk about it. In entertainment news, Magnum P.I. strays from Tom Selleck's original back in the 80s. CBS's new version of Magnum P.I. ditches Magnum's famous mustache and changes Higgins into a female character. Wow. Facts of Life star Charlotte Ray passed away at age 92. Robert Redford's calling it quit. He's moving towards retirement. So I don't understand why he's moving towards. It's done, dude. Switching gears very quickly. Demi Lovato speaks out. She says, I will keep fighting. Demi Lovato, you have a lot of demons, young lady. You're incredibly talented. I hope you have the support system that you need at this time. This isn't the first time something has happened to you. Probably it won't be the last time. I hope it is. But young lady, you got to lay off that trash, that poison. I am a human being, and I have empathy for you. But it's always something, Demi. Reach out to your family, and I hope the family reaches out to you. You're killing yourself, young lady, and you're an incredibly talented woman with an incredibly strong message. Poison. We all lose if you don't stop. Beyonce reported that the twins were born by emergency C-section. I hope all is well. And in a little bit of news, that the world of science fiction went gaga over this weekend. Patrick Stewart will be returning to Star Trek, and it will be some about 20 years in the future, approximately the time in real life from 2002 to about the time it's going to debut. Right now it's 16 years if you take straight 2002 to 2018. But it's getting close, and it would be cool. But Sir Patrick Stewart is returning to the iconic role of Jean-Luc Picard. We do not know if he's going to be a captain. We do not know if he's going to be an admiral. We do not know if he's going to be retired. We do not know if he's going to be a broken man. We'll see. But I mean the character of Jean-Luc Picard. You never know. It's been 20 years. We'll see. The NFL Network to part ways with Marshall Faulk, Keith Evans, Ike Taylor after a scandal. And this is big. This broke last week around the 2nd. The NFL Network game day broadcast team will look considerably different this season as a sexual harassment scandal will result in the departure of Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk and two other analysts, or as I say, analysts. Faulk, Keith Evans, and Ike Taylor were all suspended last year after a female employee claimed they were among five people at the network who groped and harassed her. The three former players aren't expected to return to their jobs at NFL Network once the regular season commences, a person with knowledge of the situation told USA Today Sports. The person requested anonymity because the terms of their release have not been finalized. Seven-time Pro Bowler with the Indianapolis Colts and St. Louis Rams. He was MVP in 2000 and ranks 11th on the all-time rushing list. He was inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2011, and he was hired by the NFL Network in 2015. The report first came from the New York Post. That's bad, man. That's just bad. In some other sad news, I don't know if you watch it, but I do from time to time. I watch the program Reliable Sources. They really do a good job of trying to keep it straight. Tell a clean version of the events. Folks, what is truth? We can discuss truth in the future, but I'm talking about the human condition here. And it's pretty bad what happened this weekend. Brian Stelter and Don Lemon were threatened on air by a caller, a Trump-supporting Pennsylvania man, called into C-SPAN's Greta Bronner, threatening to shoot CNN reporters Brian Stelter and Don Lemon, saying that the two had labeled all Trump voters as racist. Stelter later noted that Sean Hannity had, on Thursday night, preceding the Friday show, played a clip of him discussing the role racial anxiety had played in Trump's election. I don't think I'm going to be able to play it right here because it's going to be very difficult to do so. But this is basically what happened. Mr. Stelter said a supporter of President Donald Trump threatened to shoot CNN reporters Brian Stelter and Don Lemon during an on-air call with these comes amid repeated attacks in the media from Trump, who has described the press as the enemy of the people and fake news. The caller, identified by C-SPAN host Greta Bronner as Don from State College, Pennsylvania, had phoned into her show Friday to express support for Trump's criticism of media. It all started when Trump got elected, the caller said before falsely accusing reporters of labeling all Trump supporters as racist. Stelter and Lemon don't even know us. They don't even know these Americans out here, and they're calling us racist because we voted for Trump. They started the war. If I see him, I'm going to shoot him. Bye. He added before abruptly ending the call. Stelter then discusses the episode, talks about Hannity's possible role about it, and it is available on YouTube, on CNN, and you need to check it out. Bronner did not get a chance to rebuke the caller because it happened so fast. You know, things happen. I don't exactly blame her for the way things, but folks, we need the media. And it's our responsibility to investigate, not only listen to one channel or two or three. You need to read Twitter, all of that stuff that's talking about the news. Folks, it's junk. It's trash. We know that the media is colored. We know that. But it's up to us to look into it. We have to hear the words of the politicians. We have to hear the words of the people, what they said. We need to read what they write. And then we can't be accused of, well, we took that out of context. No, no, no. I challenge everyone, before you get angry or think that someone has said something about you, check it out. Understand the whole thing. Because it's really sad that these people are now being threatened. And it's just not right. It really isn't. Maybe if you sat down for a press conference, things would be good. You haven't done those. You need to prime time with America listening. You know, Americans like to ask you questions too. Right now, we're limited through the media only. You should have a sit down with the American people. I challenge you, Mr. President. You are the most powerful man in the world. Talk to us. We want to listen. And this isn't from a Democrat. This isn't from a Republican. This is from a citizen that wants to hear what you want to do and what you are doing. And I do have a few questions for you, sir, about some transportation initiatives. You know, I'm a big fan of that stuff. I like to see opportunity. I like to see things built. It puts people to work, gives them an opportunity. And then people get to ride or make use of those systems after. I am a gadfly when it comes to transportation. I would like to know, President Trump, what are your plans? You were talking about a $1 trillion plan. Sir, that was almost 2 years ago now. Have a prime time press conference, sir. I'm not challenging you. I'm asking you. We, the American people, would love to hear it. And those of you that are fans, they would be excited about it because then they would have a reason to say, yeah, you see? See? This is what my boy is doing. And then those believe in you will at least say, okay, I get it. I know where he's going. Whether I like it or not, I know what you're trying to do. You'd be surprised, Mr. President. If you look back in history, when American presidents have said, we're going to do something or we're going to go someplace, you'd be surprised how many Americans come along for the line or for the ride. Why don't you start with sitting down with us and having a live press conference and take calls from, well, maybe not calls, but take questions from the public, sir. Can you imagine everyone would be listening to every word you'd say? I think it'd be kind of cool. But anyway, I'll stop dreaming for now. But no, I'm not challenging him. I'm no one to challenge that man. I'm asking him to do so. Because he could put a lot of people in their places, and he could inspire others. Tell us what you want to do, sir. Only in America. Two Stanford University researchers argue in a new study I'm going to reserve that one for next time. My voice is starting to give me a little bit of problems, and I am over about an hour now. I've really gone over a lot of stuff. I read this about a week ago. This one I do want to cover. Actually, there's several things I want to cover. Number one is a young lady that I don't like. I acknowledge her talent. Her talent is incredible. But I didn't like what she did in the donut shop. I think you know what I'm talking about. And I'm taking this word for word from the week. It was a well-written moment about people, and specifically about Ariana Grande. If you want to keep a little snippet of something of value, I humbly offer this. And it's entitled, How Grande Responded to Terrorism. Ariana Grande nearly quit performing after last year's Manchester bombing, said Katie Connor and Ellie. The 25-year-old pop superstar wept constantly and barely spoke in the days after a suicide bomber attacked her sold-out arena show in the United Kingdom, killing 22 and injuring 500 others. For a brief period, she didn't think she could ever get on the stage again. You see it on the news and it makes you sad. And then people move on, Grande says. But experiencing something like that firsthand, you think of everything differently. Gathering herself, she decided she had to return to Manchester to stage another performance in defiance of terrorism. 2 weeks later, she raised $23 million for the victims and their families in a benefit concert called One Love Manchester. Getting back on stage was terrifying, she says, and remains so at times. But it was the courage of her fans that made her feel an obligation to keep going. Quote, it's the most inspiring thing in the world that these kids pack the venue. They're smiling, holding signs saying, hate will never win. Why would I second guess getting on stage and being there for them? That city and their response? That changed my life. Ariana Grande, I humbly offer that you have changed my life a little bit, even by that. This is probably bad programming on my part because I'm doing this alone, but I am. I'm dumb. About a week ago, there was a battle over trans characters in Hollywood. Scarlett Johansson was going to take a role as a transgender woman, and the internet went ape, and she eventually bowed out of the project. I remember when Jennifer Lopez was going for the role of Selena, and Selena was Mexican-American. She was born in the United States, but her heritage was Mexican. Jennifer is Puerto Rican, and the Latin community flipped out. They said it should have been Mexican. The actress that would play Selena. How sad. I remember that. It was disappointing to me. My background got it wrong, and it's one of the embarrassing, well, one of the many embarrassing moments of my culture. When the young lady, Zoe Saldana, took on the role as the famous Lieutenant Uhura, Zoe is Latin. She is not, for all intents and purposes, of the same background as Nichelle Nichols. While I'm sure I'm not going to figure out what percentage in genes, whatever, is Zoe Black? I'm sure she is. But I believe predominantly she's Latin. And if I'm wrong on this point, so be it. But based on what I know, she's more Latin than Black. That's neither good or bad. But when she was given the role of Uhura, I did not hear my Black brothers and sisters complaining that a Black woman role of Lieutenant Uhura. Never forgot that. I guess today is the day that I bring it out. My pockets, because I never forgot it. They didn't say a word. I kind of thought, selfishly and ignorantly, that it probably should be a Black woman, but when we look at DNA today, what is what? Zoe Saldana has done a marvelous job. But I leave that thought with you.
as we go back to the battle over trans characters. It was outrageous that someone who was not trans should play the part, so said the community, as well as the internet. And it was sad. How many times does Hollywood get someone who is not to play that role or to act in the spot? It was just really sad. I mean, I am a Scarlett Johansson fan. I think she would have done a marvelous job, especially knowing that there are many characters or many actors that have played trans characters and nothing was said of them. Jared Leto, Jeffrey Tambor, and Felicity Huffman were in trans roles. Yet, Scarlett was under undue pressure and apologized and backed out of the film. So should only gay actors play gay actors? Should only lesbians play lesbians? It was a shame. The community did a great job to shame BusinessInsider.com. They defended Johansson's casting, and the trans community got them to apologize. Wow. The social justice warrior mob won out. They were out for blood, and they got it. Now, we're not going to talk about the job that Leto and Eddie Redmayne did. You know, yeah, they were lauded for their courage, but, you know, hey, you just check out the Dallas Buyers Club and the Danish Girl and see what you think of the performances. They say, of course, if you haven't walked in our shoes, you wouldn't notice the difference. But anyway, wanted to comment on that. It's for you to decide. There might be a few other things that I probably wanted to go over, but I think that's going to be it for now. Monday Night America is back full force. Last week, as you know, we spoke to a homeless individual, Consula. He lives a very difficult life, and he's out there right now in this oppressive heat, living his life. I do think of him often. I worry about him being out there. Yes, it is his choice, but it is a hard life. I'm complaining about the heat only because I'm not inside right now. He has it 24 hours a day. Both the heat from the sun and the heat from the other people out there that don't want him to be out there either. We'll see what happens moving forward. I know Consulu will visit with us again. I hope to see him soon. We'll be planning another episode for next week. Stay with us. Head on over to ndbmedia.net. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook. And I think that's going to be it for today. I want to thank you all. And we are out of here. Peace. Pop us a mail from time to time. It's kind of good to read from real people.